Thanks, Jesse. Jesse. Okay, I got to tell a funny story because knowing that, Heath is in the house, welcome. I don't even think, is he down here? Okay, all right. Anyways, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Heath, this is a funny story. So Heath, he bought a thing of Coffee Mate creamer. And he's like, oh man, it's just a coffee drink. So he grabs this thing and he takes it, you know, he opens it up and he's like, he takes a drink and Heath has got a really deep voice. So after service, everybody just beeline over there and go, Heath, share your voice with me. But anyways, out of Heath's voice, he goes, this is delicious. Anyways, it's one of these stories that we continue to talk about today. So anyways, I didn't know I was going to share that this morning. Welcome in the house, Heath and the rest of you guys. Heath and the rest of you guys, that just kind of dissed you. Well, I'm sorry. Welcome, everybody. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, speak today. Holy Spirit, move in each one of our hearts, Lord. There's a lot of things coming, Jesus, and I just ask that you would strengthen us as it was spoken today in worship and the prophetic and all of these things, Lord. We just, every day we're training in you, and we just ask that you would prepare us today with what is needed so that tomorrow we do well for you. Amen? Amen. I'm thankful for the theme of this year being new. I love it. It's so interesting having that lens to evaluate everything. I mean, I'm evaluating new, and what does God want to do new in my family? What does he want to do new in my work and missions and my relationships with him and in the body? And I just love it. I feel like I'm on a quest for all things new. I really appreciate the messages that have been spoken recently. I mean, they've been incredibly strengthening in this time that we live in this world. Amen? Amen. Well, let's jump in. So much happening in our world today. My heart is heavy, but I believe that I'm only supposed to carry what I'm authorized from the Lord to carry and nothing else. Prayer is an important part of this. Now, how do we deal with the heaviness? We've got to go to the Lord and give it to him and cast our cares upon the Lord. And then we need to come out of those prayer closets and make sure that we're different than when we went in. Amen? Amen. Dude, we got the Ukrainian crisis. Ah, where will this lead? Are we going to be in nuclear war? Finances are on everyone's mind. Inflation is at a 40-year high. Gasoline and diesel prices are rising. A new poll reported that only 31% of voters are satisfied with the way things are going in the U.S. today. Over half think our country is worse off than it was a year ago. Only 35% say the nation is better off. Gallup announced last year that the percentage of Americans who claim membership in a church, synagogue, or mosque has fallen below 50% for the first time in our nation's history. And in sports, Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner lead the Seahawks. Come on! Crisis! Crisis! Come on, people. Crisis. Crisis, 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 crisis. Crisis is here. What is crisis? The Oxford Dictionary defines it as a time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. In this past year, Chad Borg and I, we did some crisis response training from a missions agency called Crisis Response International. They define crisis as, crisis is when our normal coping mechanisms are overwhelmed. Our normal coping mechanisms can't keep up. What does this mean? So here's an example. We're all living our normal life, and then a crisis happens. What crisis? The phone rings, and you find out a close family member has been hurt. How do you respond? What area does that hit inside of you? See, instantly we are disrupted. Crisis equals a disruption or some loss of normalcy. This disruption instantly changes our normalcy of life, and we want to go back to normal. The problem is, our normal has been altered. Crisis, to a great extent, it can be subjective. What would be considered a crisis for you may not be for me, and vice versa. Crisis situations can occur at any given time to any individual. The way the person copes with the situation can make it a crisis situation. But at some level, with all crises, there is loss. See, it's not really a crisis unless there is loss. Loss can be tangible or intangible. Tangible could be home, livelihood, health, finances. Intangible, a loss of security, safety, a world that makes sense. How we value and perceive ourselves, even the fear of loss itself. We need to be aware of these aspects of losses for ourselves and for others. Crisis situations are all around us. You know, if you personally are not currently in a crisis, at some point in the future, you will be. Crisis is coming. Crisis is here. We need to reframe crisis in our minds. It is in crisis where people are most open to spiritual help. The only thing that really matters is the reality of eternity and the gospel. We need to be aware of this topic of crisis and how it can hit and change us, but also be aware so we can help others. Let me say it again. We need to be aware of this topic of crisis, how it can hit and change us, but also be aware so we can help others. The body of Christ, the family of God, is made up of individual stories. In this room, in this family room, we are full of individual stories. And we have been and are going through a lot of crises. The Bible says that we are a family, and when one member suffers, all the members suffer. We understand and have experienced in this house, in this family room, we've experienced crisis, we've experienced disruption, and we've experienced loss. Our stories have changed our normal and have resulted in a new normal. The title of my message today is A New Normal. See, the new normal seems to either pull God close or push him away. The reality is in crisis, we oftentimes question God's presence. We oftentimes wonder where he's at. But it's interesting. In crisis, the enemy wants to lead you and for you to listen to him because he has a plan for you. Guess what? So does the Lord. My prayer this morning is for all of us that in crisis, we pull God close. There's a phrase used in training, be it armed forces, police, or simple preparations that says, we don't rise to the level of our expectations, we fall to the level of our training. What does that mean? The reality is that you do not know what you do not know. Yet we often expect people to perform at a level that is beyond what they've been trained to do. This morning I want to expose us to a passage of scripture that offers training solutions to us that will help us mitigate negative outcomes from biblical prophetic crises. This passage reveals negative impacts of a world in crisis. I want to expose us to them so that we can be aware that each one of us can easily become what we think we wouldn't from just a few circumstances or a few choices. It's not a fun passage, and it reveals that in the midst of crisis, some people don't get help, and they push God away, and they often cling to other things. If we can be aware of that this morning, my prayer is that in crisis, we will get help, and that also in crisis, we can help others. So as we go through this passage, my prayer is that we can train in such a way today that if, when, and in a current crisis, the hope is that we will fall to the level of our training. In Matthew chapter 24, the disciples wanted to know from Jesus when the end would come and how they might know. I think it's normal for all of us to ask this question. Are we in the end times? It's interesting. Pastor Phil, he mentioned this last week, and I love the phrase he used. He says, we are closer to the end times today than we were yesterday. That is actually very deeply profound. This is a good word. The disciples wanted to know when the end would come. Jesus speaks about the future. Matthew 24, 1 through 3. As Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. But he responded, do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth. They will be completely demolished, Not one stone will be left on top of another. Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" See, I love the tension that's found in this chapter. The end of the age or the end of the world. When will this happen? I love that there has been tension on this chapter throughout the ages. It has been disagreed on by Christians over time. One commentator said, "Why didn't Jesus just simply say it so clearly that there was no possibility anyone could misunderstand him?" Because God wants every age to have reason to be ready for Jesus' return. We should not think of Jesus' return as an event far off on a timeline, but something we have been running parallel with since the day of Pentecost. We are sure of this. He is coming again. And we must be ready. The phrase we say around here is, get ready,
stay ready, and grow.
Come on, get ready, stay ready, and grow. Amen. From this point forward, over the next 14 verses, we're going to hear about a lot of crises is the plural of crisis. Boy, I tell you what, trying to prepare my notes, trying to figure out which way to say crisis. So some of you out there are English majors and you're ticked off at me, I apologize. Be offended, and then we'll talk out of service, and the Lord will blow you up, and we're just going to be good. We're going to be in this together. We're family, so we forgive one another. We love each other. This is what we do. Amen? All right, cool. I love you guys. Preach it. Let's not make little things like this a crisis. All right. I'm in crisis. I don't even know where I'm at. Okay. Here we are. As we go through this passage of scripture, I want to highlight areas that we need to train in to prepare for. So I will call them training objectives. So let me say this. Training starts now. Every time we assemble together as a church, every time we assemble together as a people of God, we are in training. So welcome to training, church. The very end of this chapter sets the tone we need to have for our training. So please stand as we read these verses together. Matthew 24:42. "So you, too, must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming." And Matthew 24:44. "You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected." You may be seated. That is powerful motivation for our training. In this passage, Jesus is talking to his followers, not just of that time, but of all time. If you are a follower of Jesus this morning, can I just hear a simple amen?
Amen.
All right. The word amen means so be it. So if you need to step it up just a little bit. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, can I just hear an indubitably? Come on, say it like you mean it. Indubitably. Get all those syllables out. Indubitably. Come on, say it like you mean it, people. There it is. All right, let's get into our training objectives. Matthew 24:4, Jesus told them, and this is our first training objective, don't let anyone mislead you. Jesus says this because unfortunately it happens. The word mislead is also the word deceived in other translation. It means to cause to stray, lead aside from the right way, or to wander or roam about. One of my favorite illustrations of deception is that of a rocket off course. So let's say we are targeting Saturn, and the red is our targeted course, but deception is the yellow. And if we're not going to hit our target, we're off target. That it looks like we're on target, the yellow, for a very, very long time. But the truth is, we're not on target. And this is what gets really interesting with deception. Deception plays this game saying, you're on the right path. You're good. Everything looks good. So in this early part down here towards the bottom left, it looks like you're on the exact same path for miles and miles and miles. The truth is, you're not. If you're off path, you're off path. Period. Zoom in and you'll see very clearly those are two different paths. You're either on target or you're not on target. There is no gray area. The Spirit nails us. He doesn't say, oh, it's okay. You just play around a little bit. Look, a small lie is a lie. Call it for what it is. Small anger is anger. Call it for what it is. If you're off path, you're off path, period. You know, we can look really good in front of each other. But we have got to be honest with ourselves. If we are not on his path, we're not on his path. We need to maintain a humble lifestyle that allows input into our lives for when we get off path. We need to stay close to the Holy Spirit. In my family, we have what we call family values. And we use this phrase called EODM. It's simple. Together as a family, we've made family values. So some of those family values are like, watch your tones, out of frustration, you don't get a yell. And so we developed this phrase called EODM. And so that means that if dad breaches a family value, then the kids actually get to call dad or mom out in what we have decided is this a family value. We all call each other out on these things. So an example would be, I yell at Lily. She's my 9-year-old, and this happens. Not every day, but it happens at times out of frustration. And Lily, it's interesting with EODM, it means this. The E is expose it. So I yell at Lily out of frustration, and she says to me, Daddy, I didn't like your tone with me. Okay, she exposed it. It doesn't stop there. She exposed it. Now I need to own it. So I own it, and I say, All right, fine. You're right, sweetie. I did. Okay, it doesn't stop there. Because great, I owned it. I realized that I did that. Now we go to the next one, which means deal with it. The D. So deal with it means, Lily, okay, please forgive me for yelling at you out of frustration. That was wrong. That breached our family value. And now I might need to repent to the Lord too. But what's cool is Lily and I are right? So now this last one is the M, which means move on. That's sometimes the hardest one, but we're good. I've asked for forgiveness. We're good. We move on together as a family full of family values. You guys, this is what we do in our family. But regardless, we need inputs into our lives that get us back on track. And we don't care who calls us out on those. If we're off path, we're off path. Make sure you got people speaking into your life. The enemy has a very simple plan. It's very simple. Let me tell you what it is. To kill, steal, and destroy you. If I looked at your face this morning and I said, my plan is to steal, kill, and destroy from you, how would you feel? You'd be on a defensive. You'd be like, who is this guy? Let me tell you very clearly. The enemy is not playing games today. His plan is to steal. His plan is to kill. And his plan is to destroy you. He does not want you following Jesus. So understand that he will put whatever he can before you to mislead you from following the Lord. You need to be aware. We need to be aware. But when we mess up, let's get right. God has made a way. He's made a plan for this. Get back into living life for him. I believe that call is to some of you this morning. You're not living right, and you know you're living off path. This is this morning where the Holy Spirit's going to blow you up. You need to get right, okay? Matthew 24:5. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. Training objective number 2. Watch out for false saviors. Jesus is saying this to his disciples. And in essence, threw them into this very present day. Many, many will come onto the world stage and basically say, I am your answer. I am your salvation. Follow me and I will save you. This deception does not just happen. It is subtle. But know this, it will pull our attention off of Jesus and onto whoever has the answer. Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. What is that name? It's Jesus. There is no alternative. It's not going to be a person in the government. It's not going to be a person of power. It's not going to be that relationship that you long for. It will not be your boss. It will not be your pastor. It will not be your doctor. And it will not be your professor. It will be Jesus. Amen. You and I will be tested in this. You and I will be tested in this. So let's train well. Matthew 24:6a. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars. That's interesting. You will hear of wars and threats of wars. Are we there today? And what's the very next phrase? But don't panic. Training objective number 3. Don't panic. It's hard to talk yourself out of a panic attack in the moment. The tip is to avoid panicking in the first place. How do you do that? You train for it. What is your response when toilet paper is flying off of shelves? What is your response when grocery shelves empty out? These are some of the things that we need to look at and figure out what our response is. If you are prone to panic, then prepare in such a way that if this was to happen again, you might be able to take a step back, evaluate the situation, and make a good rational move or response. Don't be sheep following sheep. That's the whole toilet paper thing. We're just sheep following sheep. Stand back. Get your eyes off of the sheep and look at the shepherd. You can't train and prepare for everything. What is God revealing to you? What is he revealing to you to work on? Start there. And also be careful with the news. You know, those sources don't tell us to spend time with the Lord. They don't tell us to get our hearts right. They don't tell us to pray for the situation. You know, they don't tell us to not let fear get a hold of us. Instead, the information comes at us in a way, in a narrative, a recording that actually causes us to want to panic. Matthew 24:6-9. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation. And kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. Then you will be arrested. You will be persecuted and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Training objective number 4, get conditioned for challenge. You know, following Jesus is not all rainbows and unicorns. Oh, well, it's not entirely true because we do have the rainbow promise found in Genesis with the flood, but there's no unicorns. Come on. I appreciate that word over there. Thank you. Thank you. Indubitably. You know, we have rights in the U.S. Amen? Oh, yeah. So it has been difficult for us to imagine this kind of behavior happening on our soil. However, I think we are seeing that the landscape, the climate is changing. Open Doors, it's a mission agency that educates and advocates for those being persecuted today, says, around the world, more than 360 million Christians live in places where they experience high levels of persecution just for following Jesus. That's 1 in 7 believers worldwide. In Nigeria, a Christian is killed for their faith every 2 hours. That's nearly 13 Christians a day and 372 Christians a month. They are sobering statistics. Each number is a man, a woman, a father, a mother, a son, or daughter who die violently just because they follow Jesus. Are you prepared for this type of persecution? You know, there's a story of the underground church where they're in a worship service and these soldiers came in with guns and they said, anybody who will deny Jesus, you can go ahead and leave now. And many left that worship service. And when the door was closed on the last one, those that stayed knew what their fate was going to be. And then the soldiers put down their guns and said, we just wanted to know who the true worshipers were because we want to worship with you. My question is, which one are you? Would you have left or would you have stayed? The Bible mentions the need to put on the armor of God in Ephesians for a reason. We need to armor up in God's armor and might every day. Every day we are in battle. Today's battle in God's armor will condition us for the one he wants us in tomorrow. Did you put your armor on today? Matthew 24:10. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Training objective number 5, keep your course directed towards Jesus. See, we're only a few choices away from becoming the enemy of the one we love. That word many again is intense. It means multitude. This is a tough one. Many people will turn from God. Why? It's based on how they see him. I tell you, life happens, doesn't it? Life happens. Life happens. The stories in this room, they're intense. This family, we've been through it. It has not been easy following Jesus. I came across an article from a guy named Dr. Jim Dennison. He's a cultural apologist who helps people respond biblically and redemptively to the vital issues of our day. He says, when life is difficult or even in crisis, he gives three pointers. Number one, some divine actions are beyond human comprehension. It's not that God will not explain his ways to me, but that he cannot any more than I could teach calculus to my three-year-old grandson. Number two, we will understand in the future more than we understand in the present. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. The more we obey God today, the more we may understand him tomorrow. And what we do not understand in this life, we will understand in the next. And number three, obedience positions us to experience God's best, whenever and whatever that is. Romans 12, 1-2. When I trust God more than I understand God, I position myself to experience God. Since Jesus is absolute and we are tethered to that absolute, we will ultimately want to do what he wants us to do. However, if we break that tether, we are left on our own to cling to whatever false form of absolute we can. The only way to justify that false form is to try and destroy that which is real. Amen? All right, moving on. Matthew 24:11. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Oh, man. Why in times of crisis do these people show up? Because the enemy wants to set up shop. He wants to fill the crisis with his narrative. He wants to persuade us away. Training objective number six, be discerning. We need to discern the times. We need to discern voices around us that are very, very persuasive. In every age, we will need to discern different prophetic voices. But I will say right now, we need to be extremely, and I'll say it again, we need to be extremely careful of the voices around us from the news media prophets. Come on. The cultural prophets, come on. The social media prophets, man. The financial prophets and the political prophets. We have all sorts of people saying all sorts of stuff. And we need to be careful with what we're listening to. God made a provision for this in all time. It's called his word. Read it. Live it. Let it transform us. Come on. If you don't get in your Bible, your enemy will get into your business. And on your own, you know, I encourage you to read Galatians 6, 7 through 8, and in also Hebrews 4, 12. Matthew 4, 24, 12a. Sin will be rampant everywhere. Trinity objective number 7. Be aware of sin. Be aware of what sin is. It says sin will be rampant everywhere. Are we aware of it? If we are, does that mean we stay inside and hide? No. We have a dog, and our dog poops outside. Praise God. When we, most of the time, no, he poops outside, it's good. Or we wouldn't have a dog. When we are outside on the grass, guess what I'm aware of? Poop. Some of you guys call it landmines. Call it what you want. Poop. Especially when we're picking it up. I'm aware of the placement of every step I take because I know that any one wrong step and I step in, poo. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that I stop going outside. It doesn't mean that I stop hanging out in my yard. But I'm aware. The caution here is, do you see poo around you? Some of y'all need to put that up on your mirror. When you wake up in the morning, do you see poo around you? Or do you just step in it and bring it inside your house? You know, a little poo here and a little poo there. And then pretty soon, your house will be full of... You ever see those movies where the animals live inside the home and they defecate all over the place? It's gross. But that could easily become you and I if we do not train to notice sin. Matthew 24, 12b. And the love of many will grow cold. And the love of many will grow cold. Training objective number 8. Love, it's a command. Remember, it's a command. Train to love. Last month, the theme of Living Faith Fellowship here was love your neighbor. What a fantastic theme. My middle daughter, Lene, is actually named after love your neighbor as yourself. It's an acronym for that. So she's Lene. So yeah, it's good. Anyways, if you feel that love is slipping in your life, then you need to get help. If you feel love, you find yourself just becoming more negative towards people. Let me tell you what, as a follower of Jesus, there is no excuse for what those people have done to you. There's no excuse for why you feel like that. You cannot, as a follower of Jesus, allow yourself to go down the road where you say, I don't love those people. You cannot. You cannot. Because the Bible gets really aggressive and says you're supposed to love your enemy. So people, we've got, as followers of Jesus, we've got to be loving people more. Love covers a multitude of inadequacies. So when I look at you, I don't see all the junk. Love goes, I love you. I'm going to treat you that way. It doesn't mean that I just condone everything and just, oh yay, I love that you're sinning. But I love you. I love you. We need to be lovers of people and move towards them, not away from them. Matthew 24:13. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Training objective number 9. Don't quit. Amen. Following Jesus is not a sprint. It's a marathon. You know, Pastor Phil talked about this last week extensively. He mentioned over and over again what promise awaits for the overcomer, for the one who endures. No matter how long we have been following Jesus, his heart for us is to endure. Stay the course. Don't quit. Matthew 24:14. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it and then the end will come. Training objective number 10, and this is the last one. Remember, the good news wins. Amen. There will be crises. There will be crises. The good news wins. Amen. There will be crises. There will be crises. The good news wins. The good news wins. Amen. Everything we go through should be aimed at this verse. Let me say it again. Everything you, me, we go through in life, it should be aimed at this verse. The good news wins. Every negative thing, every positive thing, the good news wins. In conclusion, how many of you know that God had a plan for you to be alive during this time in history? That he knows what you've been through, what you're going to go through, and that he can use that for good in time. And some of the stories in this house, you're so strengthening to my walk. Do I want to go through the same things you've gone through? No, I don't. I don't. But I appreciate that you have continued to follow Jesus through the storms and the hardships that you have gone through. It is strengthening to my walk. If you're in a crisis, then the training you have is being pulled on right now. What is that revealing in you? I hope it is pulling you towards your need for the Lord. Also, if you are in crisis, we are here to help. If you are not currently in a crisis, then now is the time to train. You see, all of us will experience crises. Remember, it's in crises and crisis where we tend to be more open to spiritual help. Crises, they change us. They instantly disrupt our normal. And what results is a new normal. God wants to call the shots in this new normal. He wants to be pulled close. And in doing so, I believe it is a special place to advance the kingdom. See, there are events that took place in Scripture that it created crises in people's lives. And some of these events, an angel would show up and the first words were, "Fear not." People, we need to hear those words today. God is alive. God is good. God is aware of these times. He knows what He is doing. God is moving and He is in the presence of crisis. Fear not. Let's train. Let's get ready. Let's stay ready. Let's grow. And let's go help others do the same. Amen.